Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stardom Cast, a podcast where we talk all things about the fantastic, amazing, and spectacular professional wrestling company that is Stardom. And folks, we do it in a positive and what I like to think fun manner. I'm your host for this bonus episode. My name is Matt Turner. Folks, as you see in the description box, this is part two of our five-star final review show, as I'm going to be reviewing the final matches from the five-star Grand Prix from 2017 all the way up into 2020, plus a bonus, folks. I asked for it. You folks delivered. Yes, I was gifted from one of our fantastic listeners of the Stardom Cast. Found me the match I've been looking for quite some time, the finals of the very first five-star Grand Prix from 2012, Yuzuki Ayakawa taking on one Kyoho Kimura. So yes, we are going to be doing not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, but six matches on this bonus episode. So 2012, 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020. So some fantastic stuff coming up here on the Stardom Cast. This is just a bonus episode. A thank you to the fantastic listeners of this show for making us each and every week a top five pro wrestling podcast when it comes to the American charts. So thanks everybody for the fantastic support that you've been showing us. Obviously about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I released the very first part of this episode, so we're going to go in chronological order, and then probably in the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to release 2021, 2022, 2023, then, of course, the finals of the 2024 five-star Grand Prix. So we're going to be going back to the Wayback Machine, going back in the DeLorean, going 88 miles per hour, filling it up with all sorts of goodies. You know, we're setting that clock in the DeLorean from going to go back. Back to the future for some we're going to take a look at some fantastic matches from the finals of the five-star Grand Prix. Folks, before we get into it, hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're having a great day. I hope you're better today than you were yesterday. I hope you're better this week than you were last week. I hope you're better this month than you were last month, because that's what life is all about. Some self-improvement, some self-improvement. I am doing fantastic as I'm recording this. It is the first week of October. Beautiful day we're having, as fall has just started over here in the Northeast. Well, fall started pretty much everywhere, but beautiful day here in Northeastern Pennsylvania. So just things are rocking and rolling, strutting, strolling. We finally finished tournament season, the G1 five-star Grand Prix, and Marigold's inaugural Dream Star Tournament. So Dream Star League. So excellent, excellent stuff here from Marigold and Stardom. Two great tournaments back to back, and we're just moving on to some fantastic stuff coming up here from my two favorite wrestling companies in the world, Marigold and Stardom. So, well, folks, even though tournament season is over, it's never a bad time to go back and take a look at some fantastic tournament matches. Let's get into it, shall we, folks? Without any further ado, let's go back and look at the finals of these matches from the five-star Grand Prix. Again, we are going to start from 2012. The very first final. And again, this is an extra bonus on top of a bonus. It's like when you order a steak and you get a side of steak, your steak on steak dinner. But yes, bonus on top of a bonus. 2012 five-star Grand Prix. Ayakawa, red star block winner. Kimura, the blue star block winner. So let's get into it. These two come out, and I've never seen this match before until I got it sent to me. So these two start off with a forearm exchange to start. Ayakawa then hits a leg kick. She tries for a tiger suplex, but Kimura is able to block the tiger suplex. And then Kimura eventually puts a triangle choke onto Ayakawa. Kimura then is able to back Ayakawa up, uses her size and strength advantage with the Kenta Kobashi style machine gun style chops. Ayakawa tries to retreat to the outside, but Kimura follows her. We get an outside all over the building brawl. Back inside, we get a forearm and kick trade-off. Ayakawa finally gets her first advantage by rallying off a whole bunch of low kicks to back away the very, very aggressive Kimura. Great stuff there. Ayakawa takes Kimura's head off, takes her head off with a huge, huge head kick, and then just blitzes Kimura with some more fantastic ground kicks. Yuzuki Hayakawa, for you folks, I know we have a lot of new listeners to the podcast. If you've never seen her wrestle before, she had she only wrestled for a few years, was really one of the first big stars in Stardom, was actually the first Wonder of Stardom champion. And she relies a lot on those leg kicks, those low leg kicks, as well as the buzzsaw kick. So you can see she's really implementing her game plan pretty well here early on. Excellent stuff. She's a running penalty kick for a two count, and follows up with a stunner, stone cold stunner from Hayakawa. Wonder if she slams the Steve Weisers. Kimura stops a fisherman's buster and then hits a rolling guillotine choke. And then she hits several violent kicks to Ayakawa's face, returning the favor. And then some forearm from clotheslines as well. Ayakawa then drops Kimura with a head kick. We get a slap exchange between the two. Ayakawa gets the better of that advantage. She's a shining wizard, but Kimura kicks out just that one, just that uno, living the dream there. Kimura fighting spirits up, and she hits Ayakawa with a huge lariat. That only scores her a one count as well, going back and forth with these one counts. Back to a kick exchange and then a forearm exchange between the two right where they started off. Kimura then is able to get the better of the advantage of the strike exchange. She uses that to open up with a pair of Sayoto suplexes that scores Kimura a two count. Ayakawa is able to get a lock in a Lamai Straw Cradle for a two count. These two back in the ring, boot to the face exchanges back and forth. Ayakawa gets the better of that advantage. Kimura may not have wanted to play that game with Ayakawa. Again, her strength is those kicks. Ayakawa gets the better of that exchange. She hits a stiff punk kick and a spin kick combination. She follows that up with an axe kick to the back of the neck of Kimura for a two count. Ayakawa then hits, just blitzes her with an insane amount of kicks for a two count. She uses that to open up with some more strikes and then finally hits that tiger suplex that she tried on early in the match to pin Kimura for the three count. 16 minutes, 34 seconds, and Yuzuki Hayakawa, not only the first winner of the Wonder of Stardom champion, but wins the first ever five-star Grand Prix Finals. This was fantastic, and again, I've never seen this match until I watched this. This was 4.5 stars. Great, great matchup here between Kyo Kimura and the legend that is Yuzuki Hayakawa. And again, for those who are somewhat newer to Stardom, Kyoko Kimura is the mother of the late, great Hana Kimura. And we're going to get into Hana Kimura in just a little bit because mother and daughter both make the five-star Grand Prix final. Pretty cool. Don't know if that'll ever happen again. I mean, who knows? Who knows? But it's a cool little tidbit that they can always go back to. Okay, folks, obviously 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016, I did about a month or so ago. If you have not listened to it or you want to go back and listen to it again, it is in the feed. This is not a Patreon exclusive. This is just a bonus episode I wanted to do for everybody. So if you want to fill in the gaps, you can pause this episode and then go back and listen to that. And then we're going to pick up 2017 five-star finals. We go to the legendary Corken Hall on the 18th of September 2017 as we have Yoko Bito, who won the tournament in 2016 by defeating Tessa Blanchard. She won the Red Stars block, and she's taking on the Blue Stars block winner, Toni Storm. And again, as I'm recording this, we are about 12 hours away of Toni Storm challenging one Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Joshi Championship. So Toni Storm is a hot, hot topic on wrestling fans' minds and a hot, hot topic with the Stardom fan bases. She's had two matches in Corken Hall and has been cutting some wild, wild promos, not only backstage, but on that press conference as well. So Toni Storm back in 2017, I mean, what a year she had. She won the Cinderella tournament, and here she is in the finals trying to defeat Yoko Bito. Yoko Bito is one of only three wrestlers in the history of the five-star Grand Prix to make it to the finals more than once. Obviously, she does in 2016, 2017. Utami Hayashista, who we're going to be talking about again in a little bit here, went to the finals in 2018 and then in 2020. And then Micah was able to go back-to-back in the finals last year in 2023. And then this past year in 2024, Yoko Bito, again, is the first wrestler to be able to go back-to-back. Here she is to try to be the only wrestler to win more than one. Will she win, or will Toni Storm be the first wrestler to win the five-star Grand Prix and the Cinderella tournament in the same year? Now, folks, if you take a step back and you look at this, you know going into this final is going to be history is going to be made. Either Yoko Bito is the first wrestler to win the tournament twice, or Toni Storm is going to be the first wrestler to win the Cinderella tournament and the five-star Grand Prix in the same year. So pretty cool either way. You know that you're going to have history being made. Pardon me. Okay. So again, Toni Storm representing Blue Stars, Yoko Beato representing Red Stars. We get Yoko Beato starts off with a big pump kick to start the match off. She's starting off fast here, and then hits a brutal knee strike onto Toni Storm for a two count, trying to get the win here early. Yoko Beato follows up with a pair of chops. Toni gets the advantage by hitting a drop kick that sends Yoko Beato to the outside and hits her beautiful suicide dive to the floor. Folks, it's Cork and Hall. It's a big match. Gotta have that Cork and Hall brawl. We get a Cork and Hall brawl between Toni Storm and Yoko Beato. Toni Storm gets the better of the brawl. She sits Yoko Beato down on a chair in like the second row, and Toni Storm hits a running hip attack while Yoko Beato is sitting on that chair in the, not the second row, excuse me, the front row. So Toni Storm then tries for a Storm Zero onto the floor. However, Yoko Beato blocks the Storm Zero and hits a B-driver on the floor. We are fast and furious in this one. These two are not getting paid by the hour. And of course, Yoko Beato and Toni Storm had to win their respective blocks early on the night. So they're trying to get this one over quick. We get a form exchange between the two back in the ring. Toni eventually targets Yoko Beato's neck. She locks in a cravat. She hits a big suplex. Yoko Beato fires off a pair of lariats to try to get Toni Storm to kind of calm down a little bit here, because Toni Storm is really going to work onto Yoko Beato's neck. Makes sense, trying to set up for the Storm Zero pile driver and probably that air raid crash on the knee that Toni Storm does to set up for that Storm Zero, that short pile driver. Yoko Beato hits a ripcord head kick for a two count. Toni Storm is able to come back with a pair of headbutts and then hits the Storm Zero, but the Storm Zero only scores Toni Storm a two count. Toni tries for a second Storm Zero, but very much like the action on the outside, Yoko Beato counters Toni Storm's Storm Zero and hits a B driver for a two count. Yoko Beato then tries for the kick combination that won her the tournament the year before, the head kick and the 360 kick. However, it is Toni Storm able to counter, duck that 360 kick, hits the beautiful headbutt right to the neck of Yoko Beato, and then hits not one, not two, but three consecutive Storm Zeros onto Yoko Beato for the three count. This was a fantastic final match. Better final match than Yoko Beato had with Tessa Blanchard the year before. This thing was action-packed from moment zero, Storm Zero, I guess, pun intended, and Toni Storm. And I like how they play on Yoko Beato goes for the finish she went for last year. Toni Storm has it well scouted, in the immortal words of the late, great Gorilla Monsoon, and is able to duck that 360 kick and hit three Storm Zeros, one after another, and gets the three count. Toni Storm becomes the first, and as of this recording, the only wrestler to win the five-star Grand Prix and the Cinderella tournament in the same year. Toni Storm would then go on to defeat Mayu Iwatani via referee's decision to win the World of Stardom Championship. And folks, that is up on your free feed as well. Myself and tag partner and good friend Andy Hedder, we did a complete review of Toni Storm's World of Stardom Championships. A lot of Toni Storm love going on here at the Stardom Cast, and just with the wrestling fans in general. And why not? Because Toni Storm, folks, she's timeless. We move on to the 2018 five-star final. Once again, we are in Cork and Hall. Once again, we are in September 24th, 2018. The big rookie, Utami Hayashista, who, again, somebody we're all talking about in tournament season. She just won the Dream Star Grand Prix for Marigold. So Utami Hayashista, what a phenomenal tournament wrestler that she is. Utami Hayashista, the Red Star block winner. Mayu Iwatani, the Blue Stars block winner. The colors kind of make sense because Utami Hayashista was always donned in the Red Queen, Mayu, even though she's a very colorful wrestler. She doesn't always have a lot of blue in her gear, so I think that was really cool and kind of had this symbolism there. Whether Stardom meant to do it or not, I don't know. But Utami Hayashista, this is only her rookie year. She made it to the finals, won the Red Stars block, and she's taking on the Icon of Stardom, former Wonder of Stardom champion, former High Speed champion, Goddess champion, two-time winner of the Cinderella tournament, Mayu Iwatani. Mayu up until this point has done everything in her career but win the five-star Grand Prix. Will she be able to defeat the big rookie? Folks, if you don't know, we're going to find out. We get the code of honor to start this match, then a big lockup. Two things I love is the respect in wrestling and then a big lockup to start off your big time match. And again, it's the finals of the 2018 five-star Grand Prix in front of a packed Corican Hall. Mayu gets an early kick to the thigh and to Utami's head. Mayu off to an early start with a series of kicks, and then she puts a focus on Utami Hayashista's arm. Makes sense. Utami likes to use the lariat. She likes to use the German suplexes. The torture rack bomb and the hijack bomb is something she's still, you know, she's only a few months into her career that she's still trying to figure out, but a really smart strategy from the former World of Stardom champion one, Mayu Iwatani. Mayu hits a series of basement drop kicks to Utami Hayashista that sends Utami to the floor. Mayu Iwatani tries for a dive off the post. However, Utami Hayashista gets her first big offense of the match. She stops Mayu when she's on the post, and then gorilla presses Mayu from the post. Utami is on the apron, and Mayu's on the post. Utami stops Mayu from the dive, and gorilla presses Mayu off the top rope onto the floor of Corican Hall. Back in the ring, Utami starts to slow down Mayu. Utami taking advantage of the one big move that she does. She locks in a camel clutch and a neck crank, really starting to focus on the neck of Mayu Utami, and then she transitions that, and then she focuses on Mayu's arm. It's the finals of this tournament. Mayu has KT tape and wrap all over her right arm. That may as well be a target for Utami Hayashista. And I like that how Utami goes from the neck and realizes, oh wait, Mayu's arm's all taped up. Let me go to the arm. So like how the Utami, and again, she's a rookie, very inexperienced rookie at this point in her career, finding herself in a big, big matchup, only a handful of months into her career, and then is able to be like, well, wait a minute, let me strategize and go to Mayu's arm. Smart, you know, Mayu with the German suplexes, obviously with the Snapdragon, of course, the two-step dragon, trying to take away that big offensive maneuver, or that big offensive onslaught from the icon of stardom and one Mayu Iwatani. Mayu is eventually able to hit the double jump drop kick, which I still have no idea how she does that. It's absolutely insane. And then follows up with a pair of basement drop kicks again. She tries to get Mayu tries to build up the momentum on Utami. Utami is able to use a judo throw into the rear naked choke onto Mayu. And then she goes for the torture rack bomb to try to put Mayu away. Mayu escapes the torture rack bomb with a super kick. But then Utami fires up using that fighting spirit and hits a huge lariat for a two count. Utami goes for another lariat, but Mayu is able to counter the lariat with the crucifix bomb, also known as the Dodon Pie, for the two count. Mayu then hits a kick trio that leads to a German suplex for a two count. She goes for another German suplex, but Utami is able to get out, locks back in the rear naked choke, again to try to slow down the onslaught that is Mayu Iwatani. Utami is able then to transition the rear naked choke into the torture rack bomb for a two count. She goes to the top rope for a missile drop kick. She goes for a second missile drop kick. However, Mayu stops her on the top rope. We get a top rope fight that Mayu gets the better of. Mayu hits a top rope Rana and then goes to the adjacent corner and hits a frog splash for a two count. Mayu then follows it up with a two-step dragon suplex to put away Utami Hayashista and Mayu Utami, the icon of stardom, the greatest of all time in my opinion, wins the 2018 five-star Grand Prix. I had this one at 4.25 stars. And folks, if you love Mayu for all the reasons that I love Mayu, I love her because she's a great wrestler. And I was so fortunate enough to meet Mayu a few times, just a sweetheart of a person. But we also like the clumsiness that is Mayu. You know that when you win the five-star Grand Prix, you get the cape and you get the crown.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Out of everybody that's won this five-star, from Aikawa and the very first one to Micah just a few months ago, everybody gets the crown. Mayu's the only one that the crown like doesn't fit and it keeps falling, and it's just absolutely hilarious because it's Mayu. So go back and watch this match, and if you want a good laugh and just a wholehearted laugh, watch poor Mayu trying to put the crown on because it is hilarious. Folks, we go to the 2019 Five-Star Grand Prix. Once again, we are at the end of September, September 22nd, 2019. And once again, we are in the legendary Corkin Hall, Stardom's unofficial home. As we see Hana Kimura, yes, her mother, was in the finals of this tournament 7 years ago. Hana Kimura winning the Red Stars block, taking on Kunami, who won the Blue Stars block early on in this day. This was a great one night of action for Hana Kimura as she defeated Hizuki to make it to the finals. Kunami, I believe she wrestled a multi-person match. I believe she already qualified, or she was just waiting to see the outcome of some of these matches, but she does qualify and win the Blue Stars. So this is really interesting because Hana Kimura and Kunami, they're both members of Tokyo Cyber Squad. Hana is the leader of that faction. Kunami is mostly tagging with the phenomenal Jungle Kiona. And Jungle Kiona was backstage at the at Marigold's final of the Dreamstar Grand Prix. So fingers crossed that maybe Jungle's getting the itch to come back in the ring, because I think current Marigold roster, Jungle Kiona would be great. But anywho, Hana Kimura winning the Red Stars block, Kunami winning the Blue Stars block. And this is the 2019 final. Every final from 2019 up until current day, that final night is like one of the best nights of wrestling you'll see all year from any wrestling company. And the other years were good. Like 2018 was a pretty good final night, but 2019 is really when it starts to be like, oh, this is just an absolutely fantastic night of pro wrestling. Again, you have this match, which I'm going to talk about, Hana and Hizuki early on. I'm almost positive Mayu and Momo Watanabe, that was on that final night as well. So, if you have not seen this final or this tournament, go back and watch the entire show, because this is really, really a fantastic, fantastic show. And it always seems like the final night of these five-star Grand Prix is like one of the best nights of wrestling you'll ever see. And even this past year, and because you only had three five-star final matches because of the way that the brackets were done with the playoffs and the quarterfinals. So you just only had Hanan versus Saya Kamatani, Micah and Mayu, and then the finals with Micah and Saya Kamatani. But then you had a really good match with Tam and Natsuko Tora for the World of Stardom Championship. So even this past year, even though you only had the three five-star matches, was still a really, really great night of pro wrestling. But this 2019 final is when it really, really started to be like, oh, wow, this is one of the best wrestling shows you'll ever see, regardless if you watch Stardom, New Japan, WWE, AEW, Marigold or whatnot. It's like one of the best wrestling shows. Marigold obviously wasn't a thing in 2019. You know what I'm saying, folks. So again, if you have not seen this show from start to finish, carve yourself out some 2 hours, 45 minutes, or 3 hours and watch this show start to finish, because this is one of the best wrestling shows all in 2019. Okay, folks, let's get into it. So Hana Kimura, the clear crowd favorite. Kunami knows that because, again, they're in the same faction. So what does Kunami do? She jumps Hana Kimura before the bell. Again, Kunami had kind of an underneath tag match on this show where Hana Kimura went to war with the wrestling machine that is and was and will always be Hizuki. So smart strategy from Kunami, jumping Hana Kimura before the bell. Kunami goes right after the knee and the ankle of Hana Kimura. I mean, she's relentless. She is the submission sniper. That's basically the moniker that she doesn't really go by that much anymore. I wish she would, because it's a cool name. And she does a great job. Obviously, you can tell Kunami does have a background in jiu-jitsu. And she just goes right after Hana Kimura, stomping on the leg, locks in the ankle lock, dragons for a leg whip. I mean, just really just focusing on Hana Kimura's leg. She posts her leg on the outside. She does a double stomp off the second rope to Hana Kimura's knee. You're getting a lot of the sympathy behind Hana Kimura in this match early on. And Kunami's absolutely relentless. Easy story to tell. Hana gets her first offense in with a series of vertical suplexes. Shout out to the late, great Eddie Guerrero. Hana Kimura then locks in her submission finisher, the Hydrangea, which Rina has adopted basically as a tribute to Hana Kimura. Again, Rina, the most successful Future of Stardom champion. And again, as of this recording, obviously things can change in 12, 14 hours, is still the Future of Stardom champion. Obviously, Rina does have a Future of Stardom championship match at the Nagoya pay-per-view against one Miyu Amasaki. That's neither here nor there. Hana hits a running boot for a two count. She goes to the top rope. We get a top rope fight that Kunami wins. She locks in a knee bar with Hanakamura hanging from the top rope. Obviously, Kunami cannot get the tap win here because she's in the ropes and she has to a five count to break it up. But it's really cool how she's using not only her cutting bone, Kunami is using her cutting bone, which is basically the bone you have that rubs up against your thumb. Not only is she using that on Hanakamura's knee that she's been working on, but she's using the top rope as well for leverage. So even if Hanakamura wanted to tap out, it wouldn't be legal because she's in the ropes. However, for 4 seconds, Hanakamura is selling this pain, and everybody in Cork and Hall can feel Hana's pain as they are rallying behind the leader of one of the coolest factions ever in Stardom, Tokyo Cyber Squad. So Kunami hits a double stomp onto Hana's knee, locks in a sharpshooter. Eventually, that Hanakamura gets to the ropes. We get a forearm trade-off between Hanakamura and one Kunami, and Hana's really selling the knee. Like, she can't get her full weight behind these forearms because she's basically wrestling or fighting on one knee, which I thought was really cool. Kunami opens up with a series of leg kicks that opens up a series of mid kicks. Hanakamura then fires up. She's getting the crowd adrenaline behind her. It's a pair of violent running boots to Konami's head. And then Hanakamura goes for the package pile driver, the Tiger Lily. Kunami escapes the Tiger Lily, tries for the Triangle Lancer, but Hana rolls all the way through and rolls her up for a 2.9 count that a lot of the fan base bid on. Kunami is able to come back with a head kick, locks back in the Triangle Lancer. She transitions from the Triangle Lancer to the ankle lock. As Hanakamura is going for the ropes, Kunami then picks up Hanakamura and then hits an ankle lock into a German suplex. That's a really cool spot. It's a spot that we've seen Kunami do a handful of times, so I thought that was really cool. Kunami then is able to go for the Triangle Lancer, but when she does, Hanakamura rolls all the way through and then is able to put Kunami in the Triangle Lancer, which Konami's not in it that long before she says, I cannot get out of this. I've had enough. And then Hanakamura forces Konami to tap out. And Hanakamura wins the 2019 5-star Grand Prix. This was a fantastic, fantastic match that Konami was on, like the offense of like 70, 75%. And I mentioned a little bit ago how in 2017, Toni Storm was the only wrestler to win the 5-star and the Cinderella tournament in the same year. Kunami had a very similar 2019, but on the opposite end. She's the only wrestler in Stardom's history to lose the final of the Cinderella tournament and to lose the final of the 5-star Grand Prix. As in 2019, Kunami lost to Arisa Hoshinki in the Cinderella tournament, and here she loses to one Hanakamura. Hanakamura does trade in her win. She calls out Bree Priestley right away, and Hanakamura will eventually challenge Bree Priestley for the World of Stardom Championship, but she's unsuccessful. Oh, and also, again, I got ahead of myself. In 2018, Mayu Iwatani actually challenges for the Wonder of Stardom Championship, which is very rare because usually you go right for the World of Stardom Championship. But she challenges Momo Watanabe, who was, other than Mayu, probably the most dominant wrestler in 2018 for Stardom. Probably even more dominant than Mayu because Momo had those series of matches with Io Shirai. And that eventually led to Momo Watanabe winning the Wonder of Stardom Championship and then Io basically giving 18-year-old at the time Momo Watanabe the reins of Queen's Quest as Io then would come over to the States, and we've seen what she's done in the last 5 years in WWE, and that just absolutely dominate the women's division. And Io is, in my opinion, the best bell-to-bell wrestler on that roster, on the roster of the World Wrestling Entertainment. So I thought that was really cool how Mayu was like, no, I'm not. I'm going to go after the Wonder Belt. Not only the Wonder Belt, but Momo's Wonder Stardom Championship, just because of how Momo has built up that belt. And again, in my opinion, Momo Watanabe, the second best Wonder Stardom Champion of all time, only behind one Saitama Tani. And again, in 2019, Hanakamura does challenge Bree Priestley for the World of Stardom Championship. Unfortunately, Hanakamura is unsuccessful to defeating one of the best Gaikokujin wrestlers in the history of Stardom, as Bree Priestley, now known as Blair Davenport, was able to defeat the winner of the 2019 5-star Grand Prix and won Hanakamura, again, Hanakamura and Kunami, 4.25 stars. Folks, we go to our final match of part two of the 5-star Grand Prix finale. As we go to 2020, the COVID year, once again, we go into September 19th, 2020, And once again, we go to the official, unofficial, official home of stardom, Corkin Hall. It was a Tommy Hayashista making her way back to the finals of the five-star Grand Prix. She won the Blue Stars block, taking on Himeka, who won the Red Stars block. Yes, the Jumbo Princess herself. What's great about this is Utami Hayashista comes out and she's exhausted because this is back when they had the 20-minute time limits. She goes 20 minutes with Shuri, and Shuri takes her to task. And Utami outlasts Shuri, and she's able to win the Blue Stars block. Because if Shuri won, she would have won the block. Utami needed a draw or a win, she would have won the block. Utami goes to the draw. But if it was an MMA fight, I think everybody would have scored it for Shuri because Shuri takes Utami to task. So Utami comes out and she is just absolutely exhausted. So Shuri at this time, very much like Himeka, part of Donald Del Mundo. And this is where basically where you get the streak of DDM wrestlers in the finals pretty much up until present day. Even Mai Sakurai, who former member of DDM, was made it to the finals of Marigold's tournament, again, the Dreamstar Grand Prix. So this is where it all starts with the Jumbo Princess in Himeka. So Shuri probably didn't even know, but she helped her fellow DDM member out by wearing down Utami Hayashista. Match starts off, a tackle trade-off to start. Then we get a forearm trade-off after that. Himeka won't give up an inch on Utami. Utami's exhausted. Himeka sees that. Himeka had a much easier road on this final day to the finals than, again, anybody would. Who wants to wrestle slash fight or survive Shuri for 20 minutes? So Himeka's not giving Utami an inch. She knows that she's exhausted. She needs to take advantage and is trying to put Utami away early in this match. Himeka locks in a high-angle Boston Crab to Utami. Himeka then switches to the single-leg crab, basically trying to focus more on the back and the neck of Utami Hayashista. Utami halts Himeka's offense with a big dropkick and an STO for a two count. Utami quickly follows that up for a two count. So then she tries for the torture rack bomb onto Himeka. Himeka is able to land on her feet and hits a big lariat on Utami Hayashista. And again, Himeka, not only does she know that Utami doesn't have much in the gas tank, so she's trying to wear out Utami quick in this match. And Utami is very much aware that she doesn't have much in the gas tank, so she figured, let me put the pedal to the metal and get out of this early. I don't want to have a 15 or 20 minute match with one of the few wrestlers in this company that's bigger and stronger than me, than the Jumbo Princess in Himeka. So this thing is going fast. This does not last long, and it didn't need to because these two are just dropping bombs on each other. We get a lariat exchange between the two. Then we get a forearm exchange between the two. Himeka eventually wins the forearm exchange. Utami then is trying to get some of the gas back in her gas tank, locks down Himeka with her rear naked choke to try to slow things down. Utami tries to transition the rear naked choke into a German suplex. However, Himeka blocks the German suplex, hits a rainmaker, and then follows it up with a sliding lariat for a two count. That was a really, really cool sequence. Again, Himeka's aware how worn down Utami Hayashista is. So she goes for the JP coaster, the Jumbo Princess coaster. That scores her a two count. She goes for another one. Utami's able to slip out of the JP coaster, locks back in the rear naked choke. This time she's successful on landing the German suplex from the rear naked choke. She hits one, not two German suplexes. That scores her a two count. Then Utami knows the gas tank is on empty, hits the torture rack bomb to finish off Himeka and win the five-star Grand Prix. The only one of two wrestlers at this point in 2020 to make it to the finals, joining Yoko Bito. And very much like Yoko Bito in 2016, Utami Hayashista wins the five-star Grand Prix. Folks, and I mentioned this on last week's episode of the Marigold Standard, Utami Hayashista won the inaugural Dreamstar Grand Prix, and she defeat Mai Sakurai with the torture rack bomb, very much like Himeka here. So I thought that was really cool how she went back. And you can make an argument that Utami Hayashista is the greatest Joshi tournament wrestler of all time, considering the fact in her rookie year, 2019, made it to the finals. Had a good run in 2019. Here in 2020, she wins the whole tournament. 2021, she was the World of Stardom champion. Makes it to the final night where if she won, she would have gotten a berth into the finals. But then she's defeated by then Wonder of Stardom champion Tam Nakano. In 2022, she was eligible to make it to the finals but lost to Koguma. And then in 2023, she got injured halfway through. And then in 2024, leaves to go to Marigold and then wins their inaugural tournament. So you can make an argument that Utami Hayashista, very much in her prime, is the greatest Joshi tournament wrestler of all time. Tommy Hiatasisa, again, defeating Himeka here. And this was one of the shortest five-star Grand Prix matches of all time. And even though it's short on time, it's not short on quality, because this was great. 4.25 stars for me. And again, this is a great final night of professional wrestling action from the Stardom brand, especially with Utami and Shiri. That was arguably the best match. Probably, like, I went back and watched this tournament, you know, in certain pieces, but I think that Shiri versus Utami is probably my favorite match from this tournament. Either that or Mayu and Julia. And I think it's still Utami and Shiri. Regardless, it's subjective. You can like what you like. Tommy Hiatasisa would then go on about 2 months later to challenge Mayu Iwatani to win the for the World of Stardom Championship. And Tommy Hiatasisa pulls off an upset, defeats Mayu Iwatani, and with Mayu Iwatani had a phenomenal run in 2019 and 2020 with the World of Stardom Championship. And Tommy Hiatasisa upends and defeats Mayu Iwatani to win the World of Stardom Championship. And then we'll go on to have one of the greatest reigns, well over a year, with that World of Stardom Championship. So, folks, that's going to wrap it up for part two of the five-star Grand Prix final series. Next time, 2, 3, 4 weeks, I don't know, it all depends on when I can get to it, we'll be looking at the finals of the 2021 five-star Grand Prix, 2022, 2023, and 2024. So, if you're keeping track, score at home, or if you're not, 2021 will be starting with Shiri versus Momo Watanabe, what many experts have as the greatest five-star match of all time. And then in 2022, what many, including me, experts say is the greatest five-star match of all time, Julia versus Tam Nakano. 2023, Suzu Suzuki versus Micah. And then in 2024, my favorite match of the five-star Grand Prix this year, Micah versus Saya Kamatani. So those four matches, those will be what I'll be reviewing on part three of our series here for the five-star Grand Prix finals. And again, this is not on Patreon. This is just a bonus episode. Something that I want to do, I want to go back and watch these matches and just do a review as a thank you for all the fantastic support that you've shown us over here at the Stardom Cast, because we really can't do this without you. Some of these numbers we're seeing is absolutely staggering. And Rob and I just absolutely love doing this. So, I mean, we have a passion for Stardom and just all the great comments and feedback and the love that you show us, folks. It really, really means the world to us. If you have not done so, please head on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a five-star review and a little bit of comment. It really helps the algorithm out, as we've been able to hit the top 10, the top 5, have not been able to get that top number 1 spot. So let's get there together, folks. Let's get some Apple Podcast reviews up. Let's leave some comments. Every little bit helps. Helps the algorithm out. Let's get to number 1 together. Let's get number 1 together. So, folks, yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything you need from me, anything that you'd like to see as a future episode, whether myself or Rob or me and Andy doing a tag team breakdown or what show is better or an alternate commentary or matches with Matt, anything you would like to see or just want a general chat with me, Matt Turner OF on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to shoot me an email address, the email address is thestardomcast22@gmail.com. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for another episode. We greatly appreciate your support. Can't do without you. Because like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together, everyone's different, everyone's special.